This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. We're in the Salesport Talk section of Rick Tittle's Titillating Sports Show. And I have with me in the studio two guests, Joan Burns and Jocelyn Swanson from the Red Bra Regatta in the San Francisco Bay. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So I'd like to know a little bit about how you started sailing, because you're someone who started sailing a little bit later, not at 5 years old like some of our folks.
No, I started sailing. Sailing was my husband's passion, and it became my children's passion. I got tired of being left at home, and I decided I would get a boat of my own and learn to sail. And once I got my boat, I realized that I loved sailing, and it became my passion, and I continued to sail and get involved in racing and realized very few women were out there on the water. And I was one of the few skippers that owned her own boat. So I got involved in promoting women sailing and eventually joined South Beach Yacht Club, where we started a race called the Red Bra Regatta, which is an all-women's crewed regatta. And we continue to grow the regatta and would like to continue and get women out on the water.
Well, and that's, and you also started sailing on the Hudson Bay and then came out here to San Francisco.
That was
you
me.
You started sailing on the Hudson Bay. Jocelyn, tell us about that.
Well, again, like Joan, I came into sailing later in life. And we lived in the New York City area, and friends had a boat. And my husband had grown up sailing on Lake Chautauqua in Jamestown, New York. Not me. So that's how I got into sailing. But I wasn't really serious about it. It wasn't until we moved out here and we bought our Islander 36, which is the fourth boat we've owned, but the boat that really got me into sailing. And we joined Coyote Point Yacht Club. Did the Wednesday night races. I did all these races and on people's boats. Took me 2/3 of the season to get off, saying I had a good time. And that spring, the following spring, we bought the Islander 36 and found out that it not only cruises well, but races well. And so got into racing.
Well, you know, my dad was a boater, and so I didn't really think of myself as boating until I got out on the bay in about 1996, I think it was, so about the same time, mm-hmm. because he was a single-hander, and so he just did everything himself. Joan, you also do a lot of encouraging of women to get out there on the water and sail, and you have the Red Bra Regatta is all women crews, is that right?
It's all women crewed, and the men try to keep on getting on, but we won't allow them. And one of the things that I have found with women, when they sail an environment with all women, it's a nice environment. They have jobs to do. They have positions as crew. When they sail with men, unfortunately, they don't trust them to do the work. When I have someone on my boat, we do all the women do work. And Patty, who runs the sailing, putting people, will often put people on my boat, women on my boat. And I try to encourage them to sail. My crew consists of mostly women, and we do well. We win. So I encourage all women to sail, and that is my passion, to sail. I love to race, and I'd like to see other women on the water. We do, South Beach Yacht Club does a wonderful race called the Jazz Cup. 100 boats participate in that. And I think last year, out of 100 boats, I counted 2 or 3 women skippers. Mm. On the water. So that's my passion, to get more women out there and encourage women to buy their own boats. They can buy their own boats and they can get crew.
And this is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk, and I am here with Joan Byrne and Jocelyn Swanson of the Red Bra Regatta. We can say that, right?
Yes.
And Jocelyn, what do you think this is a hurdle that women might need to overcome that you know for getting out there, owning their own boats and being skipper?
Well, I think I don't think women necessarily see themselves as boat owners. Our crew is half of our crew, over half of our crew are women, but none of them seem to think that they can own a boat. And I don't know whether it's the cost or the responsibility of owning a boat, because it is a big responsibility. As a skipper, you want to bring your crew and your boat back safely to your dock. And, you know, I really, that's probably one of the major issues. Also, I agree with Joan. When you sail with a man skipper, they don't always give you the opportunity as a woman to really work the boat. And it's important, if you're going to own a boat, to know the boat, to be able to work the different positions. Not that I do foredeck, but it is important that you know how to manage a boat, how to work a boat, and if you are not a mechanic, how to find the right mechanic for your boat. So, and I think it's a lot of people, crew, and what I've noticed, as Joan's noticed, we do the three bridge fiasco. We do the Great Vallejo race, you know, a number of races around. There are very few women skippers.
Well, we're hoping to have more.
Yeah.
Now, putting together a good team is part of being a boat owner.
It is.
And also being a skipper. And so what do you think some of the tips are for women to put together a good crew for a race team?
Well, one of the things to put a good crew together is to get crew out and train them, course train them. On my boat, I try to take the women and put them in all different positions. Also, women that want to get on a boat have to start showing up on the boat. I advise that they go and take some good quality. We have so many good quality schools on the bay that they could be taking lessons on. And then they need to show up, and they have to be consistent and committed to racing. Racing takes a commitment. Sailing takes. I personally am a racer. I cruise occasionally, but very occasionally. I love to race. The adrenaline, I think racing is fantastic, but it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of commitment. And you find a skipper, preferably a woman skipper, who will allow you to get on the boat and teach them to sail. Once they take the class, get on a boat and start practicing what you've learned in a sailing school. And to put a good crew together is to develop a good crew. I have some of my crew that sailed with my husband, who has passed away, and they have remained with me. They've been with me for 18 years. And once you develop a good crew, you start winning. And the way to develop a good crew is to teach people how to be crew.
Now, you were recently crowned Queen of the Sailing Circuit by Latitude 38, and I guess nominated by South Beach Yacht Club. You don't wear your tiara out there on the boat, right?
I might start. That might be a good way to get women to come out sailing.
Jocelyn, when you came out here from Hudson Bay, what was the difference between sailing there and sailing here?
Oh, the Hudson River? Oh, well, first of all, you don't have the winds like you have here on the bay. You do have the current, though, the tide and the current, because the Hudson River goes into the Atlantic Ocean. But it is much calmer, and it's a river. So you have both sides of the river, so you have a lot of different wind shifts. You don't have the steady wind like you can have here on the bay. And it's always interesting. People tell me, oh, you sail on the San Francisco Bay. That must be really challenging. And in some respects, it is, because you have the current. You have to account for the current. And when you're sailing south of the Bay Bridge, it's a cross current. It isn't, you know, going north-south. But I think the challenge of sailing is sailing in a light wind and trying to make your boat go fast, and dealing with wind shifts. So if you do lake sailing and river sailing, that's the challenge of it. Here, I think the challenge is the current, and it can be the wind. If you're racing, and we've found ourselves racing on the city front, as Joan has, in 25 to 35 knots the wind. And it's
a good thing.
It's a challenge.
Being out there in the slot is a lot different than out on the light winds where it's shifting. So you have different skills for each one. This is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk, and we're going to go into our little network break with some announcements and then back with Rick Tittle and myself together. SailSport involves risk, and that is part of the excitement for those who race or cruise. Tune in to SailSport Talk with Karen Lyle and Rick Tittle on Tuesdays around the globe. If you are at the Berkeley Yacht Club, the time to tune in to SailSport Talk is 9:37 a.m. or 3:37 p.m. Berkeley Yacht Club time is brought to you by Luciana Vitiello of Bossa Nova Insurance Services in El Cerrito, providing boat insurance coverage and registration services for California boaters with Safeco, Progressive, and other insurers. Did you know that there are people in 168 countries that listen to SailSport Talk? We have been doing some research about the sailors and power boaters in your country. Today, I would like to talk about the United States. Starting in the San Francisco Bay Area, there are 104 yacht clubs with more than 12,000 boats on the water. Los Angeles has another 100-plus yacht clubs. There are an additional 610 yacht clubs across the country, focused in 36 states that either have an ocean coastline or have lakes and inland waters with great sailing and boating conditions. Each of these yacht clubs has its own personality and sponsors racing, cruising, or just great club activities for people to get together and talk about boats. SailSport Talk is not only reaching the sports talk listeners for baseball and football and other sports, it is now including what people do on the water with the boats that they love. Whether it is racing, cruising, or just sitting at the dock, boaters are passionate about their boats. At SailSport Talk, we talk to the racers and the cruisers who are engaged in the sport and to those who are part of the fun or just have the passion for a good challenge. If you've already been listening, you heard us talk to Tom Slingsby before he won the SailGP Season 1 and broke the 50-knot speed barrier. You might have heard our interview recently with Randall Reeves when he returned from his figure-eight circumnavigation single-handed. We interviewed the sailors on the Maiden of the Sony Classic documentary and the Olympic sailors training in the San Francisco Bay. We also talked with the inductees of the National Sailing Hall of Fame, who are the game changers in our sport. We have reported on races on the East Coast and West Coast and a few in the middle of the United States, and toured Europe recently to report on sailing there. Check out the podcast on www.sailsporttalk.com and listen to our past shows and see photos of the people who have been on the show. With all these yacht clubs, collegiate teams, marinas, and boaters, there are so many more stories to tell. We appreciate our local partners who help us focus on a local story, like Pat Brennan, a member of the Berkeley Yacht Club. Pat is a power boater by passion and a real estate broker by profession, serving the San Francisco Bay and Stockton, California. Thanks, Pat, for being a patron of the sport and co-sponsoring the Spotlight. This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces. And we only had three mics, and so I told Karen, jump into the hot seat, and she did an outstanding job there interviewing Joan Bryan and Jocelyn Swanson. I am back. Karen is still with us. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you survive? You did a great job.
It's good to see you, and I love being in both seats, actually, but only one at a time.
You're taking over, aren't you?
No, no. You know, you're so important, Rick. We always need you because you give the perspective of all the other sports.
I have self-esteem issues. Also, our friend John Arndt is back with us, and John was here in the spring, and I remember you had a very interesting kind of funny moniker with the summer sailstice, and you said, I'm going to keep going there with the puns because you have the Baja Ha-Ha now to tell us about. So what is that all about, John?
So the Baja Haha is an annual rally that goes sailing rally, that is, cruising down the coast of Mexico. Starts every year in the fall, which is the normal time for sailors to head south towards, as it gets cold up here, sailors head towards the tropics, and they sail a 750-mile rally from San Diego to Cabo San Lucas. And it's about a two-week rally, so they leave sort of end of October, early November, cruise south in companies, have two stops along the way on the Baja Peninsula and end up in Cabo, and then most of the boats disperse to cruise Mexico for the winter or longer.
John, you know, sometimes when sailing down the coast, you see whales. I think in one of the past Baja Hahas, somebody hit a whale or got hit by a whale. How did that work this year? Were there any of those things that happened?
Actually, this was the 26th annual Baja Haha, and so we've had over 3,200 boats and 11,000 sailors, or over 11,000 participating. So out of that, we have had one boat that got hit by a whale, knocked the rudder off and broke open the transom. Actually, last year on the bay, a J-105 got hit by a whale and lost its rudder on San Francisco Bay. So in good news, whales are back. They're all over the place. They're beautiful to see, but they are something you come across. But over the last 26 years, it's, you know, in the big picture, in the great scheme of things, it's not a big factor.
You know, I was just looking at the website for Baja Haha, and I see that there's a thanks from the Turtle Girls and an ahoy from the Turtle Girls. Who are the Turtle Girls?
No, I don't know that I've seen that. I better look at the website. Who are the Turtles?
Let's see how many boats were in there.
Is there a caption under that to give me a couple more?
Well, it's just apparently it's some women that identify with sea turtles who are part of the Baja Haha.
Yeah. Well, and since we've just finished up a segment on female sailors, I got to say that there are a lot on the boat. It is a cruising rally, so it tends to be a family event more than a racing event where you're looking for looking to get a crew assembled to win races. You're bringing your family, your kids, spouses, et cetera. And one of the boats, Talion, that has been on the event, I think 10 or 12 times, is a woman skipper owner, Patsy Verhoeven. She's taken a boat there, boy, every year, I'd say, almost the last 12 years. But there's a big participation from obviously all kinds of people, and the actual attention to the natural world, saving turtles, whales, and everything else along is obviously a growing concern to people and a growing part of the Baja Haha.
And if people are wondering why you don't know, I should remind everyone that if they don't know, there were 155 entries. There's no way you could possibly know every entry. But it's interesting if I look at the list, because it's not just West Coast people. There are people coming from Canada and the East Coast, and it must be pretty rewarding to get 155 entries like this.
Oh, yeah. Now, and that's, you know, the very first year, 1994, there were 39 boats. The next year, I think about 80. And maybe by the fourth year, we were over 130 boats and have been in the 150-60 boat range for most all the years. And that's and the vast majority, of course, do come from California. But because it's a migration, people come from Alaska, British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and on south. And they all collect in San Diego. And then there's Europeans who are coming from the continent, or doing world cruising. Some of the cruisers actually are people that have come over the Northwest Passage, coming from Greenland to Alaska and then sailed south, and then they're kind of finally getting towards warmer climes.
Well, you know, a lot of cruisers go on their own solo. I know when I went down from San Francisco to Puerto Vallarta, it was just the boat that I was on, the My Way.
Sure.
And but this is something where people actually network with each other, especially for future cruising and for connections, because there's a real network worldwide of people who cruise out on the ocean, as there should be, so that they can watch out for each other and give each other tips, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, despite the World Wide Web, the Internet, all the things that allow us to communicate without actually seeing each other, you know, people actually enjoy getting together in person still, miraculously. And the Baja Haha lets you do that. I mean, it really helps you meet other people. And I think, you know, cruising with friends is much more fun. I think we have, over the course of all these years, have had, as I say, over 3,000 boats. Many have gone to sail around the world. And as they do that, they also discover their friends they made on the Baja Haha. It becomes a network and friendships you keep for life. And also there is some safety cruising in company. You have someone to call and say, hey, I tore something, broke my, got an engine repair, and there's usually a neighbor nearby to help. So that's a great component of it as well. And I think also the interesting thing, people who do sail all the way around the world, very often they get back to California and go, you know, the best part of our 3-year, 5-year cruise was Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so for whatever reason, Mexico is one
of the... It's a great
sail. Yeah, it's a great sail, and it's a great cruising community there, I think, largely.
A couple more questions for John Arndt, Rick Tittle, and Karen Lyle with you on SailSport on Sports Byline USA. I was just looking at the list. One of the thing that I think is great about sailing and the romance of sailing is you get to name your boat most always a woman's name. And I'm looking at some of these names that I think are very clever, like Sail La Vie, Mermaid Magnet. But then there's a boat here called Just Passing Wind. And it's from a guy in South Dakota.
A guy? Really?
Jeff Wall in South Dakota. So I don't think people in South Dakota, a landlocked state, know how to name boats.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun you could have with boats.
I'm going to guess that he thinks he knows how to name that boat.
Because
I've talked to boat owners and they are passionate.
Well, let
about
me ask
names.
You guys. You guys are sailors. I don't have a boat. What have you named your boats, John? Let's start with you.
Well, my boat is named after the holiday we were talking about last time, summer solstice.
Hmm. So. And mine is Sandpiper.
Oh.
And I actually inherited that name. Each boat has had a different name because they have different personalities. Mm-hmm. But when I bought this boat, it had that name, and I liked it.
Do you have a figurehead?
I have a sandpiper, you know, just the little bird.
Have you ever had the little toy cannon that you light off on the boat?
No, I haven't. But
I had a friend who had a boat out of Larkspur and had that little cannon, and it sounded like a big, giant cannon. All right, let's get to a little bit more about Baja Haha. I said 155 entrants. How do you, someone's listening, they want to do it. What's the fee? How do they do it?
Yeah, well, it was founded by Latitude 38 way back in 1993. I guess it was announced in 1994.
That's your magazine.
That's our magazine. Mm-hmm. So the easy way to kind of find out all you need to know is go to latitude38.com, where we have 26 years of articles and stories and photos and fun, and it'll give you a tremendous sense of the history of the event, how people do it, what to expect, all that kinds of thing. There's also a link to the Baja Haha website, which is an independent organization that was run by the founder of Latitude and founder of the Haha, Richard Spindler. That site has, we have from both sites, a link to the First Timer's Guide to Mexico, which will give you the real basics on paperwork, weather, things to expect. And but it's a very simple thing to do. And I think like Joan here, I'd like to encourage anybody to say it's much easier than most people expect. You can get a reasonably priced boat. You do need to know how to sail, and you should spend some time sailing and go with somebody else. Actually, first time is much better than going on your own the first time.
You know, it's funny when I think about Latitude 38, and I'm thinking about the 38th parallel and the DMZ and the Korean Peninsula. Latitude 38 means something else. What does that come from?
Latitude 38 is how high we are over the equator. We're 38 degrees north of the equator.
Up here in Mill Valley?
In San Francisco,
San Francisco.
Yeah. Approximately.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's it.
Everything's coming from the Northern California perspective for Latitude 38, but you have readers all over the world with your electronic Latitude.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in fact, even before the web, we had readers all over the world because, as we've said, we cover the world of sailing through the eyes of the West Coast sailor. Before the internet, people used to bring the magazine with them, trade it in the South Pacific. In fact, if you still sail into Fiji with a bundle of Latitude 38s, you'll probably pass them out and get a free beer or two for your efforts, because it's always the magazine has traveled with sailors, and we've traveled with the stories of sailors. So.
I mean, I have to put that in my emergency supply for barter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I mean, yes, good. We're not Bitcoin. You know, it's actually a real solid thing you can hold and trade, get something solid back.
You know, it's amazing to me when I look down this list of 155 boats, I don't think there's one that another one shares. I mean, there are a couple of companies here. You know, even like a Catalina, one has a 320, one has a 350. How can there be 155 different yachts? I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Well, it's one of the great things about sailing, and for me as a sailing advocate, one of the challenging things, sailors are individuals. Boats are for tinkerers. People always think, oh, my boat's the best, but I'm just going to fix or change this one thing. As a result, the industry has designed millions of different boats to suit millions of different types of sailors. And everybody is kind of unique in that way. And so over the 50, my boat was built in 1975, and that company came and went, producing lots of boats, making lots of people happy, but there's millions of little variations on a theme there, all that do suit different variations on themes of sailors. So,
when I was in Italy recently on my Europe trip, there is a race that happens in October in Trieste that has 2,600 sailors and boats out on the water. I think they won the Guinness
Boats,
Book.
Boats, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think.
Now, but
yeah.
I want to say the difference between racers, because that's a race, and cruisers is a little bit like herding cats, as the saying goes. You have people who are very independent getting together. So 150 is actually quite an accomplishment for cruisers.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, you know, it is one of the things, of course, I with Summer Solstice and various things we do at Latitude, we're trying to get sailors together. But, you know, one of the greatest things when you survey sailors, why do they sail? It's freedom and escape. It's really to get away from it all. And so when you're trying to unite people who are trying to escape and have freedom, you know, it's a really kind of an oxymoron effort. But at the same time, the social aspects of sailing are great. As we said, we've had over 3,200 boats, but it's over 11,000 sailors. Most sailors are crew. Mm-hmm. They go for free. You don't have to own a boat. Is another thing to remember is that you can start out as a boat owner if you want to start sailing. And that's how most people try the ha-ha off. And when we ask people before they're at the skipper's meeting, the boat owners, how many people have done the ha-ha before? Most owners have done the ha-ha before they've actually done it on their own boat.
Well, you have a crew party, right? So people can meet the skippers. And where is that?
So we have two crew parties a year. We have one in the spring, one in the fall. The spring one is at the Golden Gate Yacht Club in the city. And in the fall, we have one which is more aimed at the cruising market at the Bay Model in Sausalito. And we also have on our website, latitude38.com, a crew list. So you can just put your name down and say, and don't be intimidated, put your name down, say, I don't know how to sail. I don't know what sailing's all about, but I'd love to. And you can fill out your name and people get rides on boats just by being listed on our crew list, either in San Francisco or they may end up in the South Pacific.
Wow. They won't make you the cabin boy, right?
Well, you know, you sometimes might have to swap the decks, you know, polish the stainless, but, you know.
You're getting a free ride.
Yeah, owners like contributors, but, you know, bring a six-pack and you usually can make an owner pretty happy.
There it is. That's John Art once again from Summer Solstice, this time talking about Baja Haha. Check out Latitude 38 and go to latitude38.com to check out how you can participate as well. John, it's so great to see you again. Congratulations on the race, and we'll check in with you soon.
That sounds good. Well, thanks, and I'll call it a rally, too, because this is a non-competitive event. It's for fun.
That's right. You said a six-pack. If you're, I don't think the America's Cup, they got six-packs out there, do they?
The six-packs are usually on their body.
Ah, yeah. There you go. All right,
yes,
Karen, good job, as always, and we'll see you next week.
Well, thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be part of your show.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Great to be here. Thank you.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.